of the red cedar. Dun 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 dun. And I can look up who's BG playing.
What about our Big Chuck and Little John joke?
We can start with that. We need to find out who did that Go Blue thing.
I did it.
Oh my god.
I just want to get you riled up. I just wanted to plant a flag. He's Big Chuck. I'm Little John. Welcome to WUAB, Channel 43.
When did that show go off the air? Cleveland Institution. And by the way, Tom Hamilton inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame today. So cool.
That
he
is
was,
cool.
He was umpired his kids' games back in Little League. He was he did not narrate the games, thankfully. But yeah, it's...
You looking forward to that speech?
That's going to be awesome.
He's going to be a good speech. It's going to be a good speech.
Yeah. He's the best. I mean, there's no... 35 years on the call for Cleveland Indians games.
Yeah, he's a
Guardians. Sorry, we're going to get canceled.
Well, it's not a slur. It's just a misnomer.
Right, right.
It's a difference. There's a difference.
But he's now the Cleveland Guardians announcer.
And that is why we love college football here on the Heart of the Rivalry. He is Toledo Blade sports columnist David Briggs. I am escaped patient number 1138. And producer and photographer for The Blade, Phil Kaplan. This is the Heart of the Rivalry, where we examine the college, illustrious college football rivalries of UT, BG, Michigan, and Ohio State. And there is a lot to talk about. We have completed a regular season, Dave, and we are on to the bowl season.
It's going to be good.
I know. There is so much to talk about. There is so much news in the world. We're going to stick
it's
to
playoff
sports.
Playoff Uary.
Playoff Ember. But we're gonna start local,
okay?
As local as we can get with
flag planning
with UT and BG, each different versions of a 7-5 season. Where do you want to start with the Falcons or the Rockets?
Well, I have been to Mobile and Detroit.
Compare contrast.
Mobile is really cool town. It's right on the water there. Awesome.
So is Detroit.
Awesome seafood. Yeah, that's true. Awesome seafood. They have kind of like a mini Mardi Gras parade that they have through their quaint downtown a few days before the game. And the town really rallies around it. It's also where the Senior Bowl is each spring for
the Senior Bowl
for prospective
is so cool.
NFL talent. Yeah. So, yeah, Bowling Green will be interesting. You got 2 7-5 teams, Bowling Green, Arkansas State. So I guess you question who's going to win the motivation battle there. The cool thing for BG is Scott Leffler, the coach, has said all of their guys will be playing. Looking ahead, he's struggling to keep the team together. Almost everybody's getting out through the transfer portal. That's just the way of the new world. You look at the four first-teamers on the All-MAC list last week who have eligibility remaining for BG. All are probably gone. Three in the transfer portal, and then Harold Fannin Jr., they're all everything. Superstar tight end is likely bound for the NFL. But, again, the cool thing is they will be giving it one last hurrah in this game. Chance for an eighth win, first bowl victory in a decade. So that'd be a pretty cool carrot to end a season that they've been building towards.
Nine years.
Disappointing that they didn't get to the MAC title game, but if they could end it that way, that would be cool.
Arkansas State is the what?
The Red Wolves.
Yeah, you're on alert, Red Wolves. You're on alert. Now, BG feeling good about their attempts to get to 8-5. UT not feeling as good about their attempts to get to 8-5. But they can still do something special.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they're playing Pittsburgh, a team from the ACC. Another game where it's who's going to win the motivation battle. Toledo coming off two straight losses. Pittsburgh coming off five straight losses. Don't everyone storm the box office. Catch the fever. Pittsburgh was in the University of Pittsburgh was in the playoff race just a few weeks ago and just completely bombed down the stretch, lost their last five again. And when they announced it, Pittsburgh announced they were going to Detroit on their Twitter feed, X feed. Fans were pretty much as expected. Nobody wants to watch
huzzying.
This. Nobody wants to watch this game. One fan said, "I'd rather watch my parents fight on Christmas morning than tune in to watch Pittsburgh." But yeah, on the flip side, I do think Toledo has a lot of motivation, and I do think it'll be a cool thing for. Hopefully, Toledo brings a lot of fans up there. Bowling Green has played in the Detroit game the last 2 years, and they have brought a ton of fans. It's been awesome to see them kind of paint Ford Field orange. Probably 20,000 Bowling Green fans. You get the full band. So it's cool to play
full,
local.
Full 400-member band.
It's cool to play local in that sense. And Toledo has an opportunity to beat a second Power 4 team in 1 year. I will remind you, only one team in the SEC beat Mississippi State more soundly than Toledo beat them earlier this year. So if you can add that win, or if you can add a win against a winning team from the ACC on top of that, disappointing transition season for Toledo, but 8-5 with two wins over P4 teams, most programs in the country would take that. So big opportunity here.
Also nice to go into the offseason with a
momentum for sure.
Always feels good to do that.
It's the start of next year in a way, just because you're looking at so many young players, you're getting all these extra practices. This really is the first game of next season.
Both MAC bowl games are on December 26th.
Boxing Day, baby.
Does that make it a new holiday?
I would think.
The nation wants its time off. I mean, Christmas, if you celebrate, we understand that's time off, but MACtion is really for all.
How about our state rep, Josh Williams, the guy who did the ridiculous flag planting bill? How about a state holiday for Northwest Ohio? I don't know if it'd be a state holiday. Yeah, what the hell?
Isn't he from Toledo?
A full state holiday.
Isn't he from Toledo?
Yeah.
Yeah, he Sylvania should be looking Township. Out for his immediate constituents.
Right. Now, can we
holiday,
talk about
bro?
The flag planting, by the way?
Let's get into it. There is a local lawmaker who floated a pandering bill to make it a felony for an opposing school to plant their flag at the center of the stadium. There is a number of laughable qualities about this, but Dave, take us through some of your first thoughts.
Well, my first thoughts is just, I love how spectacularly it backfired. Clearly, you have an Ohio politician looking to pander, getting the good graces of Ohio State fans. They're upset that Michigan planted the flag on midfield. Not as upset as losing the game, but they're upset Michigan did that. And clearly, you know, just, he knows there's no chance of the bill passing, but maybe get some good graces, maybe build some, get your name out there, get some play.
We're saying his name.
Get some social media play. But I think this is a sign of, I don't think any publicity is good publicity in this case. I think people will remember, isn't that the guy who had that moronic bill? But anyway, I just want to say there are two things that should be felonies in Ohio before this nonsense. First, lawmakers spending any time trying to pass frivolous bills. That should be a felony.
Wasting
the people's time. Check. We're paying the salary. Check. And number two, and this goes for Ohio State or Michigan too, this should be a state felony. Or felony, is felony always federal? Or it can be a state felony?
I think it's state felony, yeah.
Okay, I got to look up my, I did not go to law school. But it should be a felony to lose four or more times in a row to your arch rival. So Jim Harbaugh and Lloyd Carr both should have been charged with second or third degree felonies. Although if it gets up to five or six games in a row, that might be a first degree felony.
This would be across state lines. This would be federal felony.
And Ryan Day, four times in a row, that should be a felony before we're talking about this silliness.
Are you thinking sort of like country club labor camp or like for-profit prison grind, like federal grinder prison?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, it certainly should be as punitive as you could ever imagine, but also with a work release program because they still need to continue to coach the team.
Now let me ask you this. Maybe
the work release program would be, or while they're cleaning up trash on the side of the highway or digging ditches, maybe they are still able to talk to recruits on the phone while they're doing this, and they're still able to go out and practice and scout. Although, do you really want Ryan Day and Chip Kelly scouting anymore after the Michigan game? But anyway, yeah, I think it would mostly be a work release component until you're fired, and then you would just go into the slammer period.
Let me ask you this: Arizona State visits Ohio State. They don't have a flag. They have a trident.
Oh man!
Was this now? I am no law expert either, but I will law dog on a local YouTube series. Yeah. I would say that falls outside of the parameters.
I agree, and I also will point out that Ohio State has artificial turf, so there is no flag planting. Although that would be cool. How about the flag start getting like spears in it, so you can just jam it through the turf all the way into the concrete?
You know, seriously,
or you know, they should come so prepared that they come with like a a jackhammer and like a drill bit where they just drill like 3 feet into the earth and just plant.
I would just attach it to one of those Boston Dynamics robo dogs.
Yeah.
And just have it run around weaponized.
I do think both sides bear a little bit of responsibility for that. Just going back to it, it's funny that this has become such a cause of such screaming back and forth among Ohio State and Michigan fans, which is probably the first time that's ever happened. but I do think both sides bear a little blame. I mean, you would like to see teams win with a little class. I love seeing teams celebrate, and you know, it's fine for the flag planting, really, at the end of the day. But I still say more of the blame is with Ohio State. I mean, come on,
win.
You just got
go win.
They just wiped the field with you for the fourth straight year. Just tuck your tail between your legs and go into the locker room. Take your medicine. I don't all this macho baloney of protecting your field. How about you protect the field? How about you win the fight during the game instead of trying to win the fight afterwards? So that's what I would say. And also, yeah, I don't know.
I think this is
hallelujah.
I think this just all, if you're a Michigan fan, all of this just makes you feel better. You're buoyed about your difficult season. You've beaten Ohio State. And it's not the same, but you have a championship rematch. You could beat Alabama 2 years in a row. And then you go into your offseason with your aircraft carrier recruit coming in. You could feel nothing. I know it's amazing blue, really, but those are some rosy glasses you could be looking through.
Yeah, Bryce Underwood, top recruit in the country coming in. Just hired a new offensive coordinator from North Carolina who's top 10 offense last year. Everything's looking good.
Quiet them.
Yeah. And just kind of go over to your fans and celebrate with them. And everything's just kind of about taunting these days and rubbing it in. And
did you see the picture?
I get it, but.
Did you see the picture of the four, which they looked all to be either elite special teams players or bench players in the Michigan players that were doing the OHIO?
That was funny. That was good. That was great. Yeah.
What looks good to you going into this? And then what does Ohio State have to worry about?
Yeah. First of all, Phil, are you going to be there? I know you were at Ohio State.
I am going to be there.
Okay.
I am going to be there.
Will the stadium
be a little birdie brought me some more tickets. It's a snowbird.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
It'll be nesting in Florida.
Very cool.
Dropped him off on my doorstep.
Before we talk about the game, I was just curious. When Ohio State released their, or when the playoff selection show was on Sunday and ESPN released that Ohio State's going to host Tennessee in the 8-9 game, Kurt Herbstreit, former Ohio State quarterback, kind of has a very conflicted relationship with Ohio State fans.
He did some weird stuff to him, though.
It kind of drove him out of town.
Yeah, you know, landscaping crews, maybe defecating
in his
driveway. Weird stuff.
But anyway, he immediately says, and his disdain for Ohio State fans is just clear. And by the way, his son, Chase Herbstreit, committed to Michigan the next day.
So maybe
he was prepared for the what he knew was the... Just the noise that was going to come from Buckeye Nation the next day.
Do you think Kirk has really soured on not Ohio State football, but everything that surrounds it?
Yeah, because he's been very, even talking to him last year, he came up for an event in Toledo. He gave me a quote that kind of went a little viral. I forget his exact words, but he was just talking about he loves Ohio State fans, the 80% of them who get it. But then there's 20% of the total lunatic fringe who ruin it for everybody, just take everything too seriously. It's a cult that treats everything like life or death. You lose one game, you should be fired. All these kids are terrible. So he was just, I think that's his honest opinion. I mean, I think he thinks 80% of Ohio State fans, maybe even 90% of Ohio State fans are completely reasonable. And then you have the 10% fringe that when your fan base is as massive as of Ohio State, 10% of your fan base is probably 200,000 people. And 50,000 of those people are on Twitter. And anyway, back to what he said. He said his voice is just dripping with disdain for Ohio State fans, saying, "I bet Ohio State probably wish this game was on the road because, you know, the first time they go 3-and-out, the first mistake they make, the boos will just rain down. They'll be booing Ryan Day, and this could go sideways in a hurry."
Do you think that's true?
Oh, I absolutely think it's true. I don't think they would rather be. They absolutely want this game to be in Ohio Stadium. Let's not kid ourselves. They don't want to go to Tennessee and play in that crazy atmosphere. Of course, they want it in Columbus. But the first sign of trouble, I think it could go pretty sideways. And maybe we'll have maybe that'll be so the narrative that Ohio State fans will be more supportive than ever because they kind of want to show the team that we're behind you. Maybe they'll give them 2-3 and outs before they before they completely revolt. But I don't know. So you're going to be in the stands. You saw as angry of an Ohio State of an Ohio Stadium as we've ever seen
ever.
After Michigan game, and it was kind of building
Absolutely.
As the game went on. It was more of a just kind of a nervous tension. And it just kind of steadily built toward
dumbfounded
anger.
Dumbfounded disbelief
turned angry to rage to I'm too sad to light the couches on fire outside the stadium. do you think
to wobbling in the shoes?
Let's hypothetically say Ohio State gets the Tennessee drives down the field, gets the ball first. They drive down the field, score a touchdown. Ohio State gets the ball.
Two runs
and a pass, 3 and out. What's the reaction from the stadium? Are they going to try to be supportive, or are they just going to completely write the game off and just go full?
I think they would be supportive.
Yeah.
I think it took a while for Ohio State.
But they would have to be consciously supportive. They would want to
boo. Yes. It took Ohio State fans at large, en masse, to turn against Michigan and Chip Kelly. It took a while. Now, once it started boiling, it was a rolling boil.
Right.
But I think initially, like you say, he would have a shorter leash, but initially
right.
they would convince themselves consciously,
willingly, we need to be supportive,
of our team in our color in their color rush uniforms. I don't know if
right.
you know that.
Oh,
Ohio
yeah.
State
all
coming
red.
Out in the all red.
Been a red letter day for Ryan Day.
Red letter day for
Scarlet
Ryan
letter,
Day.
Or he's going to continue to wear the scarlet letter. Oh, wow.
Now, you told me that the weather was not going to be a factor.
I think it's going to be 40, high of 40, low of 24, but it'll be at night, so probably 30 degrees. But.
I think that bodes well. Even if there's no wind or no precip, I think that bodes well for a Midwest team. And that's what we've argued for years. Football weather!
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a little different when Ohio State is... When you think of a team built for the weather, you think of big, bad offensive line and just running it down your throat. And that's not how Ohio State is built. I mean, they're built on their speed and skill and their fleet of playmakers on the outside.
Guys from Florida.
Which is why a few years ago, I still can't believe this happened, but Gene Smith's former athletic director said he had talked to Ryan Day about possibly moving Ohio State's home playoff game, if there were to be one in this new system, to Lucas Oil Stadium. And the idea being you're going to have a perfect climb, fast track on the turf, and that'll favor Ohio State's playmakers.
That's
and
not
objectively,
what football
I know.
Is, Gene.
And if you just use your head objectively, it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Ohio State is probably built more than anyone to play indoors on turf. They're super fast. They like the passing game, blah, blah, blah. But if you want to celebrate what college football is all about, and by the way, throw a bone to your local businesses, that would be the craziest thing ever to move a home game to Indianapolis. You're going to embrace the snow. You're going to embrace the cold. You're going to embrace playing it at home. And I think it will be a great atmosphere. And maybe the cold will benefit. I mean, Tennessee is, I don't know, I mean, it gets cold there in the winter, but they are Southern boys, and I think there was a funny thing earlier in the year. It was 55 degrees at a Tennessee game, and they were dressed like they were going to run the Iditarod, just parka, you know, those full old school football coats that are like with the
they're wearing
football,
Municipal Stadium
yeah,
themselves,
football,
wrapped
the
around
shoulder
their shoulders,
pads,
yeah.
The size of a small house, and they had heaters, and so yeah, it'll be interesting them coming up. I don't know if Ohio State is necessarily a team built for the cold, but yeah, by and large, it'll probably favor Ohio State. Bill Belichick, am I right?
Bill Belichick. Okay.
He'd fit right in
at
Michigan.
Let me hit you with something real quick, though. Did you see that Kyle McCord finished as your NCAA passing leader? 4,200 yards. Will Howard, I would add, has 2,800. I'm just saying.
Did you see what he said after the final?
Who's he? Which he?
Kyle McCord, after the final game of the regular season. Yeah, passing NCAA passing leader in yards. Syracuse beats Miami in their regular season finale.
Keeps Miami out of the playoff.
Kyle McCord with another huge game. And somebody asked him, how does it feel to have this big day on the same day Ohio State's held to 10 points against Michigan? And his teammates were sitting next to him on the podium, and they kind of came forward and were like, oh man, what's he gonna say? Because they were just like, oh wow, that's a good question. Just knowing that, and he just
that
said,
history.
He said, everything comes around. Something along those lines, or what comes around goes around.
He left you with some karma.
He left you with, he basically said that's karma for you. So how do you like them apples? But Kyle McCord is not in the playoffs. Ohio State has second life. So
I guess Kyle McCord not in charge of karma. That is for the cosmos to dispense alone.
Right. And let's face it, with Kyle McCord against Michigan, they still would have had an equally insane game plan.
That is true. We're not going to go back into the muck of the Ohio State-Michigan plan.
Oh, instead, can we please?
Instead, we are going to portent into the future of the cosmos, and we're going to speculate on some scores in these games. So, first, UT against the foundering Pittsburgh Panthers.
That's right.
Losers of five straight.
I will say UT is about a 10-point underdog. I will say UT pulls off the upset. I think they'll be much more motivated. And I'm going to say 27-24 against the zombie Panthers.
BG in Detroit, full band to play the Arkansas State Red Wolves.
They will be in Mobile, Alabama.
I just can't get it right.
Well, I mean,
I just can't get it right.
BG played in Detroit the last 2 years, so it's kind of like, I don't know why they're going away from what worked for them. Although I guess it didn't work losing both games, but never mind. Cut.
They're going to win this one, though.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's interesting that, like we said, I mean, they're going to have all their guys playing. I think they came into this year, a ton of seniors returned. They came into this year to make a statement that Bowling Green football is back, and I think they ended the right way. Let's say Bowling Green 70, Arkansas State 12.
Ooh, 70. Wow. I was going to actually say 21-17. I was actually going to say high scoring. I think BG puts up a 40 burger.
Okay. Nice.
And I think when UT plays these games against bigger schools, they junk up the game.
Yeah.
So I could see UT winning like 19-16.
Yeah. They poured it on Mississippi State.
They did. That is, those are facts. Yeah. You have outfacted me once again.
By the way,
we're
talking about gambling here. Like, how do you gamble on these bowl games outside of the playoffs where you do know everybody's going to be playing? Everyone's going to be completely locked in. You have no idea until game day. What
you
team
have to
is
be a real degenerate. You have to be looking for like Chris Middleton plus four. Really in there.
You don't know who's going to be playing even up until game day. Some of the guys practice and then just, you know, sit out the game. They don't want to get hurt and protect their NFL stock. So you don't know who's going to be motivated. You don't know which coaching staff. I mean, not half these teams, but 10 of these teams don't even have their coaching staff. I remember when Jason Candle got the job, Matt Campbell left for Iowa State in 2015. Jason Candle was one of four coaches that stayed behind to coach this game. And then they just filled it in with graduate assistants and everybody to just kind of piecemeal it to the finish. And they beat a ranked Temple team, so it can be done. But a lot of these teams just have piecemeal interim coaching staffs, players just spread out to the wind. So I have no idea what we're predicting. Please do not take any of this advice unless it's just opposite.
We're going to do it again next week. So this is really just
a trial run.
It's just confetti fodder in the air. Do you think Michigan can beat Alabama?
I don't. I think Alabama will roll. I think Michigan's top guys, you know, you look at Mason Graham, just the number top defensive tackle, is going to the NFL draft. One of the best defensive tackles I've ever seen. Ohio State, very familiar with him.
Yeah, they ran straight at his barn doors.
And by the way, I have 11 points I want to make about Ohio State's game plan going
number
into the
one.
Michigan game.
Number two.
Will Johnson will not be playing the top, maybe the number one pick in the NFL draft for Michigan. I'm sure they'll have some more opt-outs, and I certainly don't blame them at all. Why would you not want the Ohio State game to be your final memory from this season? I assume Alabama will probably have more guys playing. They have a chance to win 10 games, and I assume they will roll Michigan.
Ohio State, Tennessee?
I don't know. We talked about it. I mean, are you going to be beaten and broken by Michigan, or are you going to be galvanized to the greater heights? I mean, this could be kind of a, it's always darkest before dawn moment. I could totally see just the absolute pain and everything heaped upon them the last few weeks lifts them to be the absolute best version of themselves, lifts them to greater heights than they could have reached without this Michigan game, and they just roll through the bracket.
Unless one of the teams shows up wearing Michigan uniforms.
Unless Tennessee shows up wearing Michigan colors. But it's equally possible that the hangover is still there. They lost to Michigan a couple years ago and bounced back incredibly well. Ryan Day had them ready to play their best game of the year against Georgia a couple years ago.
Which they lost in the Peach Bowl,
but that was a late collapse after the... Well, it's neither here nor there. They played a good game.
They did.
Against the best team in the country and probably one play away from winning the national championship.
It was. There's
so
no doubt.
Which team is going to show up? I tend to think Ohio State... I tend to think this will galvanize them. I mean, just like Bowling Green, except on a million times magnified level, everybody on this team came back for this team, this run. Look at all those seniors who bypassed NFL riches to come back for one more shot at a national title and a shot at Michigan, but can't have everything, but you can't have a national title. And by the way, I'm fascinated by the way Ryan Day talks about it. He said winning a national title would make this season a little bit better.
As if
just like the apocalyptic feel around the Michigan game is just so incredible.
They are in this man's head.
But anyway, I will say Ohio State 28, Tennessee 21. What do you think here?
28-21. Nice. I would actually love to see a kind of a bit of a barn burner.
Yeah.
But I think I think Ohio State's defense has become the better unit over the last 6 weeks of the season.
Tennessee's offense is not very good. Don't have a passing attack.
I could see Ohio State winning this game 20-17, 17-13. I would love for them to put on a 34-20, 38-28 kind of a game, but they haven't been playing that way.
Yeah.
Their offense hasn't been playing that way, and their defense has been good at throwing sand into the gears of opposing offenses.
Right. Yeah, nothing will surprise me. I could see a 7-point loss or a 28-point win.
In the world of college football, nothing could surprise a talent like David Briggs, Toledo Blade sports columnist. I'm Phil Kaplan. We will see you next week on the Heart of the Rivalry.